Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing good. You're in the back of a taxi, I believe.
That's absolutely right. I'm just on my way back from a model shop, of all things, doing a scale model of the Wisley Garden.
I thought you were going to tell me that they were doing photographs of you as the model, Matt.
It's probably be the first time I've been asked, I have to say.
They got you before they got me, Matt.
In the same boat there, then.
I leave my modelling career to one side. As I explained to Jenny, I did interview James Basson in the front of my Jeep.
I've listened to it. It's really good.
All right. Silence on a 10-second countdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
You're very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. Where are you, Matt, at this moment in time?
I'm currently sat in the back of a lovely man called Peter's cab.
For those of you who are not aware, Matt Keightley is an RHS award-winning designer, two times winner of an RHS Silver Gilt Medal, the prestigious BBC People's Award for Best in Show 2014 and 15 at Chelsea. He won three awards at the 2017 Society of Garden Designers Awards. Matt, the modelling career aside, you seem to be better at everything that I am at what you do. And and to top it all off, you're following in the footsteps of Dead Dunnett, as I call him, and Anne-Marie Powell in having been selected by the Royal Horticultural Society to build their garden at Chelsea 2018. How does it feel to be you when I put that back to you?
It's just an enormous honour. I don't know necessarily whether or not I deserve it, but I'll take it for sure. It's just a huge privilege, not just to be back at Chelsea, but to be representing working, I guess, on behalf of the RHS is just superb.
It is quite the honour, though, Matt. And on one hand, for those listening at home who aren't aware, this is a garden that can't be judged. You can't win medal for it, but the invisible medal maybe is greater. Is that a fair way to put that?
Yeah, I think it is. And I had a really similar experience last year. I did one of the gardens that was part of the Feel Good Garden series for the RHS. Again, it's a funny one, really. It's a bittersweet experience. In the first instance, you don't have the added pressure of thinking about the judging and making sure you're nailing the brief. But when you put so much effort in, and just as much goes into an unjudged garden, you get to the end of the process and actually think that it might be quite nice to be judged, have your peers walk around it and get some feedback in that way, but still get the reaction of the public. It's just as enjoyable, but just in a slightly different way.
Not to compare you or to contrast you, but when I say Anne-Marie Powell 2016, when I say Nigel Dunnett 2017, when I say Matt Keightley 2018, it is a little bit like looking at the Glastonbury headliners, if you'll allow me and my music analogies. You say, how do I say this to you? Sometimes the Sideshow will get compliments in print, and being Irish and male, those genes don't really work too well together at all. And I'm not very good maybe at taking compliments. Do you get what I'm saying to you in that?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I think for myself, I'm my number one critic. Every single job I do, I reflect on, I look back at. There's things I could potentially do in a different way. I could potentially execute in a more refined manner. So I would say it's hard to accept compliments from time to time, especially when I'm now representing the RHS this year. It's staggering, really, especially given 2014 was our first show garden. It was a baptism of fire, but actually ignorance was definitely bliss. I was completely unaware of the pressures and the politics of the show. So I just got my head down and did what we were used to, which was create a garden to the best of our ability, sticking to the brief, listening to a client. And in that case, it was Help for Heroes. It was a nice start to show gardening. I figured, having done a bit of research and looking into it, Chelsea is a pinnacle in the UK. So, well, if not the world. So I figured I would start there and see how I got on. I had a concept to create a recovery garden for the wounded servicemen and women. Given my brother's in the services, he's in the RAF. I tried to think about how through garden design, through landscaping, how we could potentially help the recovery of these men and women, approached Help for Heroes and said, look, I want to design a garden for one of your recovery centres that's going to help. I think a great way to promote that and raise awareness for what we're doing is exhibit at a show. I'm so confident in the idea. And at this point, I hadn't put pen to paper yet. It was just it was a fantasy. It was a thought. I'm so confident in my idea. I think we can raise the money ourselves. You don't need to pay a penny. We'll raise the money to exhibit at Chelsea and move it and rebuild it so you can use it for recovery. So obviously, they were bought into the idea. A week later, we had raised the money and we approached the RHS. So they had a knock on the door from someone who they'd never heard of saying, can we exhibit? And we went through a fairly vigorous process of trials and sending them examples of work I'd done and talking about what I'd achieved and what I'd done to date, because it's quite punchy for someone that isn't known, hasn't done any shows, to turn up and expect to get a place at Chelsea. And I guess that's where the ignorance comes in again. I was relatively fearless. I had nothing to lose. And they eventually let us in, which was incredible. And it's gone from there, really.
When I asked behind the scenes with people who I respect, and I said Matt Kightley Tots, a darling of horticulture, was what came back to me. Now,
did you speak to my mum? Is that what that was?
Well, it wasn't my mum, Matt. You'd have got a very different response. But at the same token, you strike me as, on one hand, maybe what I would describe as show gardening naivety. You might turn around and say, well, no, Peter, there's a little bit of ballsy in there behind the scenes.
There is naivety there, but I'm quite confident, not just with the show gardens, but in the real world. Whenever I go into a presentation, I present with conviction, because I believe in what I've designed and my concepts and what I've come up with. And the same is true in show gardening. You have to. If you haven't got confidence, you're going to doubt yourself the whole way through. And that's when I think the cracks can start to appear. So yes, I'm behind the scenes quietly confident. I've still got a long, long way to go and a lot to learn in terms of show gardening. I mean, this is number four, but they've all been fairly different. So it's trying to interpret a brief and do it in a different way to the manner you do so in the real world. It is show gardening. It's a fantasy space. It's not going to be there after a week. So it's coming at it from an angle, I guess. And in terms of respect for others, I've got a huge amount of respect for anyone that puts their head above the parapet at the shows. It can be pretty ruthless in terms of feedback and people you're working next to, and then the thousands of public that are going to pour through the gates, and whether they praise or criticise, it's still a ballsy thing to do.
Have you ever got criticism, Matt? And no disrespect to people out there, I do agree with you in what you say. To put yourself up on the platform, whether you do a garden that somebody likes or dislikes, is one thing. As I always say it, it's just a garden, my good man. It's literally just a garden. However, when the paying public come through the door, it's not like you're the Rolling Stones playing Slane and the sound equipment has gone and then you have 50,000 irate fans. This is a case of where the garden is built. It has maybe received medal or not in my case on one show garden. But have you received that criticism, even if it's just one person out of 100,000?
Yeah, I have. And actually, this is one of my favourite bits at the show is the gates open. And as I say, it's only four show garden in, so not many people know who I am. So I take a couple of steps back and stand in the crowd, and I find it fascinating, because you get some lovely comments, but you get the odd person that turns their nose up and thinks it's ridiculous what you've done, and they would never have it, and they don't understand the concept, and they write it off before they fully understand what it is you're trying to do. So yeah, it's definitely a mixed bag. We've been fortunate enough to get, I would say on average, we get more positive feedback with the gardens we've done than the other way round. But it's funny, you know, they get a snapshot of a garden and they make that decision there and then on the spot. They don't necessarily appreciate the hours, months, days, sometimes years that go into planning and preparing and growing for just 1 week. 1 week in May for it to look as good as it possibly can based on a brief you've either been given or co-written. So there's an enormous amount that goes into it. If you do mind, I'm just going to have to jump out the cab, run back into the studio, so bear with me. I'll hop out here. Peter, thank you very much. Listen out for it on the Sod Show. Take care. Have a good day. See you later. Right, Peter, I'm back with you. Right, stomping the pavement through Richmond.
Mike, you're the only person I know outside of myself who's done what I've done, which is stand out into the crowd. And it is funny.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's get into the show garden itself, if we can, Matt, because sure. You have a tie-in with the NHS and their 70th birthday.
That's right. I mean, the garden itself, the starting point for it was the work we're doing up at Wisley. Now, there's a bit of an embargo on the information, and the RHS are going to release more early May, I believe. I think it's 2nd of May, the press release for that one. But I've been appointed up at Wisley to create a health and wellbeing space as part of the new development. And as such, they've asked me to do this garden at Chelsea that is influenced or draws on a bit of inspiration around the scheme up at Wisley. And it made perfect sense to do it in association with the NHS. And the main reason being, it's going to be a garden that helps illustrate how people can improve health and wellbeing through gardens, through carefully considered outside spaces. And the great thing about the garden is, once Chelsea's done, the NHS is currently in the middle of a competition that finishes, I believe, on Friday. And the winning hospital through the NHS Mental Health Trust will end up having the garden move from Chelsea up to a hospital or a recovery centre where it's going to be used by the patients, which is just it's a fantastic leap forward, I think, in terms of prescribing outside spaces to help and aid with recovery, with health and wellbeing, rather than slobbing in front of the TV and glugging down Rescue Remedy. Get outside and enjoy a nice space, and that can help just as much in terms of reducing stress and alleviating anxiety, and that's what we're doing. So sorry to prattle on, and it probably sounds more complex than it needed to, but I think in basic terms, create a nice outdoor space and you can make people feel good. That's the idea.
And this sounds a funny one, Matt, because I've heard this on a few occasions mentioned, where biodiversity buzzwords essentially, and the newest one seems to be, and this is probably one that I respect a little bit more, where it's not biodiversity plant list Buddleia, and you're saying, okay, yeah, let's buy a plant that can take down the chimney stack of a building number one and plant it into a school's garden because it's on that list that attracts bees.
Yeah.
A slight sense maybe of misinformation, but I appreciate why it's always done. At the same token, the official note that came in from Jenny, who you work with, and by the way, an absolute gem and a credit to you.
Oh, she's great.
She is fantastic. It will be relocated to an NHS site afterwards where it will be used for patient recovery and therapy. Now, all roads seem to be suggesting, and I'm sure there are official papers out there and studies which say that being outside, as you rightly noted, in a fine space or gardens is good for your mental health, it's good for recovery, and my heart says you can't really question that. Have you got into that in a heavy way, Matt, so that you can understand a little bit better what you are on the verge of doing once that garden leaves Chelsea and moves to that next NHS site?
I've had a number of experiences. One obviously, as I previously mentioned, is the recovery centre up at Colchester for Help for Heroes. So that garden ended up moving up to the recovery centre. It's been in place now for 3 years and is used by the servicemen, the injured servicemen and women coming back from, whether it's conflict and they're physically injured, or it's just day-to-day stresses and more psychological trauma that they're going through. This recovery centre has now been... it's been tagged as the retreat because of the garden, and people have gone through the system and have suggested that just having a nice space to escape and just lose your day-to-day thoughts because you're in a nice garden has helped tremendously with both physical and psychological injuries. So that in the first instance is a very, very good example. There is research that proves a well put together, a well considered garden can help mental health patients. For me personally, I had an experience at Christmas where my eldest daughter, Poppy, she got given a bloody horn by her godfather, who happens to be my business partner. And she was blasting it for a good 5 minutes. I banned it promptly. And we went outside to the park and felt immediately more calm. So that's my experience of mental recovery with an outside space. But in all seriousness, it comes down to a very, very basic principle that we're working on, that is, if you create something beautiful for someone to look at and you can enhance that experience and stimulate the senses, obviously, with aromatic planting, if you create somewhere beautiful, you will break someone's thought process. So they'll move through the space, and that's the idea with the Garden of Chelsea. They'll move into this space, immediately forget about the everyday troubles and trials, and just fixate and become immersed and enveloped by the planting that we're going to create there. And so whether it's short-lived and they move through the space and they move on and then go back to thinking about the bills they haven't paid and whatever else those stresses are, or they take a seat and they quietly contemplate for a good 15 minutes, we're achieving what we're setting out to, which is create a calming, relaxing, recuperative environment through this garden, which is a lot to try and do in a 10 by 15, but I think we can achieve it.
This is also part, or does it come under the remit or label, Matt, of the Greening Grey Britain?
I think it will in default. So by the time we start looking at these spaces at the various hospitals, I'm almost certain we're going to look at 3 to 5 spaces. They're all going to be awful paved courtyards with a bench for the smokers. And that's just ironic, isn't it? But that I think just in its very nature is going to come under the Greening Grey Britain banner, because we're not only going to be creating this restful retreat in the hospital, we're taking up paving and planting it instead. So yeah, I think they go hand in hand, and that's why the RHS are so smart. They're so forward thinking, and they're willing to commit to these schemes and really drive these things forward.
But we seem to have a habit, Matt, where architect comes in, designs a building, in this case a hospital, be it for mental or physical. Out the back garden is a band of 5 metres outwards, cobblock standard, some grass, and like you said, a bench for the smokers, usually with a hut and a straight path to it. If my dad designed that garden, I would appreciate that, because the only thing it's missing is a straight path to the washing line, another straight path to the shed, because that's what you did in 1980s Ireland when Cliff Richard was on Top of the Pops. It doesn't get sexier than that.
I think a lot of developments, whether it's hospitals or private residential developments, the landscape's it's changing. It's starting to change, that's what I'm finding. But typically, landscaping comes last. The landscapers are last in the door, and therefore they get what's left of the budget, rather than having a meaningful budget from the beginning, being involved in the process with the architects, trying to come up with something that is more suitable for the space with the entire design team. It's more a case of it did feel like commercial outside spaces were a bit of an afterthought. So we're through the building process, they're starting to fit out, and now let's consider what we've got left, which typically would be a terrible bench and some rolls of turf, and that's it. However, it is changing, and I think specifically this year at Chelsea, I'm hoping it's going to be a starting point for hospitals considering their outside spaces more carefully, because it's not a case of it's hugely more expensive. I think planting instead of paving, you could almost argue the opposite in some cases. So, and in terms of long-term maintenance and moving forward with the right planting and with the right advice, it can be manageable. So this will hopefully illustrate that, and the hope is once we're through this first hospital, that people's ears start pricking and we can move forward with other examples of spaces that will help the patients, because it's simple. It's simple. Don't put a smoking courtyard in the middle of the hospital. Hospital used to be painted green for a reason. It's one of the most relaxing colours, and yet flowers are banned in some hospitals for going into the wards. They'd have concrete outside instead of planting. It seems a bit of a nonsense to me. It's a no-brainer. Get a nice looking space, not just for the patients, but for family and relatives that go to visit them.
Matt, let me sidetrack slightly sideways, because I put out a note on Twitter, at Sod Show on Twitter, as by the way, facebook.com/TheSodShow and sodshow.com. Should you be able to ask a Chelsea designer one question, what would that be? Tim Howell, good friend of the show, came in with one that I have to say made me chuckle ever so slightly. What unusual item or guilty pleasure do you keep in your Chelsea shed during the build and show?
Well, so, some people may have heard about the shed we built for the Centre Barley Garden. So going back to just very, very briefly touching on the Help Heroes Garden again, going in completely naively, we didn't have as much as a gazebo to keep that form. So I suggested that the next year we would do it properly. And you could have probably had a two-bed flat in the shed we built at the back of the garden. arguably, we should have put more effort into the garden, tried for a gold, but the shed was pretty spectacular with roof lights, and we had electricity, fridges, we had hooks for all the tools. It was incredibly organised. In terms of guilty pleasures, though, I don't know. I think we obviously fill it with booze come show week, but I feel zero guilt towards that. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a real tough one, Peter. I don't think I'm guilty about anything. I don't feel guilt towards anything I keep in my shed.
I know the first garden I will be going to this 2018 Chelsea Flower Show anyway, Matt. I look forward to having that Middleton Very Rare with you. Adam Pascoe was on to me and he said, it's a very interesting question, quote, "Dare you ask budgets, always an interesting topic and helps to highlight the realistic cost of using a skilled designer and construction team to create such beautiful gardens. Chelsea needs large plants, instant appeal, but smaller ones would be cheaper."
Yeah, I agree. I think I actually had a conversation with Tom, excuse me, the office phone's going, the guys will get it.
Take your time.
I had this conversation with Tom Harfleet a couple of years ago, and according to him, gone are the days of bottomless pits as budgets for gardens, and you're actually finding it more common that people actually self-fund some of their builds. So it's in people's interest, I think Kate Gould did it last year. I think there's another couple in this year where they're self-funding. So those designers, more than any, are having to be incredibly creative with the budgets they're putting forward, because it's their own money. And I think that's when it can mean a little bit more than having a commercial sponsor give you a bottomless pit. You need to be more creative. And I think it's more in touch with the real world that way round. Because not every client you come across, we've only had a couple, but not every client you come across has a blank check. And this year, given the RHS as a charity, it's not an enormous budget, and we are having to be incredibly creative. But I think the very fact that they're willing to put money up to create their own garden is testament to the fact that they're just pushing the industry forward. The fact that they're willing to promote health and well-being and the Green and Grey Britain campaign and all the rest of it through the platform that is Chelsea is great credit to them. But I think, yes, it's becoming less important to have a mega budget. And I understand the point that if gardens are exhibited that do have a bottomless pit, it's not necessarily a space that can be related to, but this one will be. This one is. It's a case of an average budget and a lot of begging, stealing, borrowing from lots of very lovely people who will be named at the show. And it's a nice way round to do it. As I say, if you've got a tight budget, you need to be more creative with how you treat the planting, how you envisage the space. And that's what we're doing.
And just to clarify, I can confirm Kate Gold, as per our interview, was indeed self-funded and hit a pipe mid-build, which cost her, as she says, an extra 18,000. But I think she alludes to the bottom of the sofa. It must be a big sofa, but we'll park that one. Matt, what's downtime for you on one hand? And before you answer that, what is the pressure like upon your shoulders? That may well be self-imposed pressure, as I like to word it.
Pressure's huge, always, whether it's show gardening or not. I think that's probably because I'm a bit of a control freak and a perfectionist. I find it very hard, and I'm sorry for my family sometimes, but I can't switch off. I find it very hard to switch off until the weekend, and even then I'm still looking at jobs and considering gardens. So the pressure to do well is enormous, and even this year without being judged, the pressure is just as much. But as I said before, it's a case of I'm in the background, I'm quietly confident. So yes, there's the pressure, but also I believe in the design I've come up with. It's more of an adventure, I think, rather than a stress or a worry, to be honest. I love it. I love the excitement. I love the camaraderie on the showground. I love the competitiveness, because although we're not being judged, we absolutely are. We won't have a certificate to show for it at the end, but everyone will still be judging us. So I love that. That's really exciting for me. In terms of respite and downtime, it's spending as much time as I possibly can with my girls. So I have my eldest Poppy, who's 3 and is a real character, and Sophie, who's 1. Every weekend is my time off, and spend as much of it as we can do outside, and love that. But as I say, my wife is very patient and is very supportive of the company and what we're doing. So yes, very lucky. Very, very lucky.
I used to say, Matt, that being married to somebody who designs gardens for a living is very much on, well, how do I describe it? On one hand, I used to say, well, I know every character. This is a joke, by the way. I don't watch the program. But I know every character in Coronation Street from around about late October until about early February. And then nobody sees me.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly right. When Kate heard we'd be doing Chelsea again, the thing is, we've got down the line far enough now that she can be incredibly frank and honest with me. And first one, everyone was jumping for joy, super excited. Second one, because of Centre Barley and Prince Harry, obviously very happy, but starting to wear thin. Last year, brutal. She couldn't believe I was doing another one. This year, she's given up. She knows I can't say no. And that's it. So she's, as I say, very, very understanding, very supportive when she needs to be, and very, very honest too. But that makes us work, so it's good.
When you turn around, Matt, at home to the daughters, and I have a 7-year-old daughter, and was over in the States last year, and I'd been on the television and the clip was played for her, and I said, "Did you see me on the television in the States, baby?" And she said, "Yeah, but look at the picture I drew of the 2 dogs and the hen." Is that the little bit of a grounding that sometimes a 6-year-old has an ability to give you, where you turn around and say, "Well, yeah, I'm just Matt."
Absolutely. Each and every day I walk through the door, she slams my feet back on the ground, especially from the show. And I've had similar experiences. And although she's only 3, she's very, very good. Very good at swiftly bringing me back down to earth, and that I am only Matt. And it doesn't matter that I've been on the TV or spoken on the radio. She doesn't give a damn. None of that matters, which I love. And that, I think, that in turn helps me switch off and actually enjoy my time with my family that much more.
Is she still playing the trumpet, Matt?
It's on top of the fridge. The trumpet is rationed to 2 minutes once a week. It's usually on a Saturday around about 10 o'clock whilst the neighbours have just woken up, and that's it. She knows that. She's very well trained. She complained for the first month, but I guess like a spaniel, if you keep on at the rules, they'll stick to them eventually. So yeah, 2 minutes once a week.
Mark Keightley is building the RHS Garden at Chelsea 2018. My thanks to Jenny in Matt's office. And Matt, thank you so much and congratulations. It's been a real pleasure, Mark.
Pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. We must speak again at Chelsea and after that with Wisley.
I look forward to it very much, Matt.
Perfect. You too. Thanks, Peter.